Hey, everybody, welcome to Pep Talk, the podcast that gives you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. We take all these crazy, complex health and wellness and medical topics that you're seeing on television, that you're seeing on TikTok, and you're hearing about all over the world, and you want solutions for. We make it simple and easy to understand. We give you real life action steps to get to the root cause of the problems. We're all about giving you the map, the keys, and the car, but you still got to drive it to your health, folks. I'm your host, Dr. Eric Napudi. I'm going to be taking you down this amazing journey today on a conversation on today's Pep Talk about adrenal fatigue syndrome. How many of you know people who's get up and go, got up and went? They're exhausted. They're fatigued. They can't lose weight. Their hormones are shot. They just feel like an old man or an old woman. And well, they shouldn't be feeling that way. And by the way, I'll tell you, in the past 20 plus years of being in practice as a functional medicine practitioner, I've seen more adrenal fatigue, low adrenal issues, and et cetera in the last 4 years than I've seen at any time combined in the last 20 years. It's pretty wild what's happening right now. And stress and burnout are real things and are really happening with people really today. So listen to some of these stats. I just looked this up before our talk today. Listen to this. Stress and burnout, according to the World Health Organization, they say that this is a global epidemic, and it's affecting about 70% of the U.S. and global population is dealing with some type of chronic fatigue syndrome, where they identify as adrenal fatigue. That's kind of a catch-all term for this. And I want to really get to that. I want to talk about some of the root causes of it. It's a really big deal. And listen to this. It's estimated globally that around 300 million people are dealing with hormone imbalances associated with adrenal fatigue syndrome, and the countless number of hundreds of millions of people that are now dealing with high stress, high environmental stresses, high emotional stresses, and the fast-paced lifestyle we have that's causing them to have low production of something called ATP, which is the adenosine triphosphate, which is where energy comes from. So let's talk a little bit about adrenal fatigue. Let's talk about where it comes from. And then I want to give you some action steps on things you can do to improve the quality and function of your health, help with adrenal issues, and help with your energy. I mean, if you have enough energy to not just get through the day, but live your life and be able to do things on your own term, like that's what it should be about. You shouldn't just have enough energy to get up and go to work and barely get through the day and get home and, you know, pass out and rinse and repeat. That's not okay. That's not thriving. And we all should be thriving and living life more abundantly. So let's talk about some of the causes of adrenal fatigue. It's really simple. There's only one cause, and it's stress. But stress is more than what you're thinking about. Stress is not just the emotional component to stress. That's a component. There's an emotional component. If you have emotional stresses with relationships, with work, with life, with school, with, you know, with bills, with money, with job, whatever, those emotional stresses wear on our body. But remember, when we talk about health, we talk about the triad of health. There's three main components of health. There's a chemical component, a physical component, and there's a neuroemotional component, that mental component. Well, you could have physical imbalances in your body. You could sit too much, be too inactive. You could be overweight, underweight. You could have slips, falls, injuries, you know, strains, sprains. All those things build up and lead towards physical stresses that can cause problems with the adrenal glands. It can cause cortisol levels to rise. You could have emotional stresses. Like I just mentioned, you could have relationship issues, your wife, your husband, your kids, your dog, your spouse, your boss, your life, your work, your whatever. Those emotional triggers, by the way, some of those emotional triggers are what you're watching on television. That's why if you watch the news that's filled with violence and just horrible things before you go to bed, you don't sleep as well because your brain's stuck in that fight or flight response. That can cause adrenal fatigue and cortisol spikes. And then you could also have chemical imbalances where your body is either toxic or deficient, whether you don't have enough of the right fuel in your body or you have too many toxins in your body. Either way, that could be a contributing factor. And the first thing that happens is one of the adaptive responses to stress is our adrenaline goes up in our body. Our cortisol goes up. Now, there's a well-known set of organs that lives on top of the kidneys called the adrenal glands. And the adrenal glands are the glands that regulate your sexual hormones. They regulate your mineral absorption. They regulate your sugar metabolism. So if your body is adrenally stressed out, let's talk about what can happen from a metabolic standpoint. Well, if it regulates your blood sugars, well, then you're going to get hypoglycemic. You're going to have insulin ups and downs. You're going to have problems losing weight properly because when your hormones get out of whack or your sugars get out of whack, your metabolism gets out of whack. So we have some serious issues there. If your adrenal glands are overstimulated, that's going to cause a problem with absorption of minerals. That's the second thing that can happen. And minerals are everything. Minerals are how our body heals. It's how our body repairs damaged tissues. It's really the spark for energy in our body. You know, in a battery, like a battery that goes in your car, you have water in that battery, but there's also minerals inside that battery. That's what helps keep the electrical charge going in the battery. Well, it keeps the electrical charge going in your body. So if your body's adrenally overloaded because of physical, chemical, or too much emotional stimuli, and your body cannot adapt anymore, what happens? What happens is you lose that electrical charge, and then your minerals get messed up. What else happens when your minerals get messed up? You get heart palpitations. You get what's called orthostatic hypotension. When you sit and stand, you get lightheaded and dizzy. You could also have muscle twitches, muscle fasciculations, where like your eyes twitch, your cheek twitches, your muscles twitch. And you could also get Charlie horses, muscle cramps, or muscle spasms. So many things can happen, including problems with the heart, tachycardias, arrhythmias, AFib. The list goes on and on because the minerals are essential for all function in the body, organ function and muscle function. What else can happen? Well, when you have a stressor in your body, the sympathetic nervous system goes up. When you have a stressor and cortisol levels go up, the part of your brain that's your fight or flight response goes into overdrive. Well, when your fight or flight response goes high, that's your gas pedal, your brake pedal doesn't work. So now your body can't rest, can't relax, can't digest, can't grow, can't develop, can't heal. Your hormones get screwed up and you have all kinds of issues. So these are serious problems that affect 70% of the global population. So what do we do about this? I mean, I'm going to give you some biohacks in just a moment, some things you can do to lower your cortisol levels and balance out your adrenal stress. But it's not about treating the symptoms. It's about going after the root cause. So it's not about lowering cortisol. That's really like the immediate thing that needs to be done to get you to feel better. But we have to fix the underlying root cause. What caused the adrenals to be overstimulated? What caused the cortisol to go up? And it's an imbalance either in your physical, chemical, or your neurological well-being, period. So what are things that we do in our practices that really help people? Number one, I love looking at everyone's genetic profile. If you want to go to a functional medicine practitioner, go down the path of what we call self-discovery, because self-care is the real healthcare, the best way you can learn about yourself is to do a genetic profile test. The profile test that we use in our practices is a 800,000 SNP test that measures over 800,000 data points in your genetic profile. It's a simple saliva test that you can do. And that test looks at different genes, and it primarily measures something called your single nucleotide polymorphisms. It looks at, are the genes firing like they're supposed to, or are they not firing properly? And if the genes aren't firing properly, it's going to cause some issues. And there are a set of genes that deal with mental health and deal with how your body handles stress. Once you run that test, then your results are going to be put on an app. Let me pull up my app so that I can show you talk about some of my results. So when I go to my health insights on my application, what I'm looking for are the stress responses. So let me just go to the stress response on my application. So here are some of the things that we look at. We can measure genes that tell us how does stress and how does pressure affect your stress level. So pressure, what's pressure? Pressure is the external stimuli and the internal stimuli that you put on yourself. There are genes that we can measure. We have a COMT gene. We have a BDNF gene. We have a CHRNA4 gene. We have a DTNPB1 gene. Well, when you get that, you get the app. The app will tell you what the gene does, how it works. It'll give you the results and it'll give you recommendations on things you should do if that gene is not firing proper. We can also measure from a stress standpoint how pressure affects your memory. How many of you, when you get in a quote unquote stressful situation, can't remember anymore? Well, cortisol, when it gets high, can negatively affect the brain in certain people. Have you ever seen an MRI or a cross-section picture of a person's brain that has Alzheimer's? The brain, literally, when you take a picture of it or an MRI image, or when you look at it under a slide, should look like think about a piece of cheese, like a slice of cheese. Well, whenever you have high cortisol level, the cortisol can poke holes in that cheese and it'll look like Swiss cheese. Well, that's not good for your brain. And that can cause a lot of serious problems and issues. So when cortisol goes up, some people, because of their genetic predisposition, are going to manifest as memory issues because it literally is going to cause lesions in the brain. We can see how your body has the ability to handle stress from a genetic standpoint. And if it cannot handle stress, there's recommendations of things that you can do to help improve that stress. We can also measure your body's ability, how stress affects your heart. You know, in some cases, one of the major reasons why people have cardiovascular dysfunction is because of overload of physical, chemical, or emotional stresses. And we can also measure how certain stimuli like caffeine and et cetera affects your stress. If I can't tell you how many people that once we found out their genes predisposed them to emotional stresses from caffeine or et cetera, and we either pull the caffeine out or add a counterbalancer to caffeine, which is like an amino acid called L-theanine, how it changes their perspective on life and how they improve, because stress really is the number one killer of all men and women on the planet, but it's the cause of the stress and the body's inability to handle the stress that's super important to understand. We can also measure your mental health from your genes, which goes with your stress. We can measure your attention span. Do you have a higher likelihood of a dopamine problem, which can make you a workaholic or an alcoholic or any type of an addictive personality? We can measure focus. We can measure production. There's just so many things that can be done to help overall improvement of your health and lower cortisol naturally from a genetic standpoint. The second thing you need to understand is your gut bacteria has to be balanced. Look, 90% of your brain chemistry, the neurotransmitters that are produced in your body to help you deal with stress, to feel motivated, to feel happy, to feel fulfilled in life, 90% of those are made in your gut. So if you have leaky gut syndrome, or if your diet is not good, or if you're physically stressed, or if you're not living your DNA lifestyle, then you're going to have a higher likelihood of having leaky gut syndrome. That needs to be assessed and addressed. And by the way, there are many podcasts and pep talks that we've done on leaky gut syndrome. Go watch those and go implement things like master microbiotics, fermented food, eating clean, healthy diet. It can absolutely change the game for you. Now, there's a couple other things I want to give you. I want to give you 25. So remember, I'm going to give you 25 ways to naturally lower your cortisol. So let's go through those. Number one, you can drink something called kefir. Kefir is a probiotic dairy product that helps lower cortisol because it helps balance out the gut and leaky gut. Why don't you do something like take up a new hobby? Do something that you enjoy in life. Number two, do things you enjoy in life. Take up a new hobby. When you participate in therapies like art or music or anything that can express your emotions, that can lower cortisol levels. Why don't you combine a keto lifestyle? Ketogenic food plan has been clinically proven to lower the cortisol levels. And if you combine a keto food plan with fasting, intermittent fasting, that absolutely can be a massive lowering effect on cortisol because it does it at the root. And again, we've done lots of workshops and a podcast on the keto diet and intermittent fasting. There's a project that we have called 45 Easy. It's 45 simple, it's seven simple steps that you do over 45 powerful days that involves a ketogenic diet and intermittent fasting. And you can go to 45easy.com and check that out. It's pretty powerful. Number four, you can start eating eggs and organ meats I don't know if you do this, but eating organ meats can support the organs in your body, or taking an organ supplement. I supplement on a daily basis with beef organs and in a supplement. I have beef liver, beef adrenal, beef heart, et cetera. That improves those organs in humans. And eating whole eggs, not just the yolks, the whole freaking thing. Those things are like little multivitamins. So powerful. So powerful. Something else that's really powerful, the lower cortisol, is taking nutritional yeast and enjoying sunflower seeds. Sunflower seeds have a lot of vitamin B1 and B5 in it, and those are really good for lowering stress and anxiety. So those are powerful tools. Another one, eating dark leafy green foods. Dark leafy green vegetables boost potassium. We're supposed to have 4,600 to 4,700 milligrams a day of potassium, and we're supposed to have a good amount of magnesium in our diet every day, which will stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system. It's the minerals that will help you with that. So dark leafy green vegetables on a daily basis, powerful. Adding some type of adaptogenic herb. Let me say that again. Adaptogenic herb. Adaptogenic herbs are things like ashwagandha, ginseng root, golden seal. Those are clinically proven to lower the adrenal stress response and lower cortisol. Here's another big one. Go for a walk. I'm such a big fan of telling people to get out in nature and go for a walk, especially after a meal. Clinically proven research has shown if you go for a 15 to 20 minute walk after a meal, you can lower your blood sugar levels by 20 to 30 points. That's huge by itself. I mean, this one's a no-brainer. Physical activity and exercise. I mean, the body metabolizes sugars. The body reduces cortisol. And we all just feel better. Like, you feel better when you're working out regularly. Just do it. You don't have to go to the gym. Just start doing a simple routine of moving your body, moving your muscles. Do some resistance against that. It's a powerful tool. One of the favorite foods that I eat on a regular basis, eating salmon. Salmon can help because it has good, healthy fats in it, rich in omega-3s, and it lowers the cortisol levels because it improves the omega-3 fatty acids in the body. Consuming fermented foods like sauerkraut, pickles, and kimchi helps improve the bacteria, the healthy bacteria in the gut, which also helps improve mood, enhances hormones, and lowers cortisol levels. There's another big one that I love to do on a regular basis, and that's drinking green tea. Green tea has some very powerful phytonutrients in it that are super powerful in lowering cortisol levels and reducing stress in the body. I try to have a green tea at least twice a day just for that property alone. Here's another one, adding curcumin to your diet. Look, I take about 1,000 milligrams a day of curcumin. We cook with it as well. It's a spice that we use, curcumin and turmeric. Make sure you're using some type of black pepper. Black pepper helps the absorption of that, but it will lower your stress levels. Another one is practice calm breathing patterns. Have you ever heard someone say, okay, you're stressed out, just take a deep breath? Well, doing some exercises like box breathing exercises or Wim Hof breathing exercises are very powerful for you to do. And box breathing is real simple. What you do is just visualize a box in front of you of four equal sides, and you breathe in for a certain amount. You hold for a certain amount. You breathe out for a certain amount. And you keep repeating. Like, it's so powerful. And doing those exercises and things like emotional freedom technique, which you can learn about on YouTube, are really powerful things that you can do. I mentioned here again, doing ashwagandha and other powerful adaptogenic herbs, vitamin D3, and getting outside in the sunshine. Did you know that 20 minutes of direct sunshine can get you between 2,000 and 3,000 international units a day of vitamin D3? I always tell people to supplement at least 10,000 international units a day for adults, 2,000 to 5,000 I use a day for kids. It's powerful. Listen to calming music. That can really stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system and lower cortisol levels. This is another big one I try to do as regular as I can. I get in my infrared sauna. It's been found that increasing melatonin through infrared helps improve sleep and also reduces cortisol levels. What else can you do? Take zinc. Zinc is one of the most powerful nutrients, powerful minerals that lowers cortisol. It helps stimulate the adrenal glands to have the nutrients that they need. And it also helps your body produce testosterone, which is another benefit to lowering your adrenal stress. And it helps with certain neurotransmitter production. There's something, okay, so celery. Here's a really great biohack. If you'll start using celery and you can start juicing it, what I do is I take two or three celery stalks a couple mornings a week and I'll juice them and drink that down. That celery has lots of minerals in it, but a lot of phytonutrients in it that helps the body relax the adrenal response and get you the minerals that your body needs to really have, you know, an increase in energy for the day. Holy basil leaf is another one. It's a very strong stress relieving property, helps with sleep, helps improve insomnia, helps with stress issues. Lemon balm tea, that's another one that I recommend on a huge basis. Lemon balm tea can lower cortisol levels, reduce anxiety, and improve overall well-being. Another one I love, go to the beach, man. I live in the Midwest, right? So every chance I get to go to the beach, we do, which is why most vacations, you'll see my family, you know, somewhere white sandy beaches, because we want to get next to the ocean where those positive ions are. We want to get out in the sun where we can really get out and get our body renewed by the sun. It's so powerful. And that salt water is abundant in minerals like magnesium and sodium and potassium and selenium, which are so beneficial for lowering your cortisol levels in your body. So, you know, these are just some simple things that you can do to help improve the quality and function of your life. These are just some of my favorite things to do, but we can do this, and lowering this stuff and lowering your cortisol and your stress responses naturally will help you get to the root cause of the problem. So you don't have to be over-medicated. You don't have to be overstressed. Once you get your body balanced, you learn your genetic profile. You eat and live your lifestyle based off of your genes. Understand your body type. Understand your blood type. Eating for those physiological adaptations in your body, and taking some of these biohacks can truly change your life and change your life forever. So listen, folks, what I want you to do is I want you to go back. There's a lot of information. I want you to re-listen to this. Share this with your friends and family members. Go on our website. Go to peptalk.world. That's peptalk.world. Make sure you like, subscribe, share us on all your social media channels. The truth will set you free. People want simple solutions. They want the map, the keys in the car. We just gave it to you. Now you just need to put it into drive and go drive towards your health, folks. And remember that knowledge is power, but wisdom is taking that knowledge and applying it to your life. Until we meet again, folks, I'm Dr. Eric Napudi. God bless you. God bless America, and God bless the world. Stay smart out there, and I'll see you next time. Be well.